The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls, and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome everyone. It's me, Matt Slick. It is, let's see, August 2nd. Boy, it's an anniversary for me. 17 years ago, I moved here to Idaho today. 17 years. Man, my wife and I were talking about it. I just cannot believe it's been that long. But, you know, time flies. I love Idaho. Oh, I shouldn't say that because everyone's moving here. Everybody's moving here. And it was a good kept secret, but now all the liberals are coming here, we think. Oh, man. But I'll tell you, they're expanding here so much. Housing values are just skyrocketed. Ours has gone up over 300%, and it's just amazing what's going on here. So, hey, but that's that. I hope you all had a great weekend. I hope you had a good time, and that God was gracious to you. And for those of you who did not have a good weekend, because, well, life creeps up on you sometimes, well, keep looking to Christ through all of it. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And we have four open lines. I want to hear from you. If you're a newbie and you're curious about the show, this is a Christian apologetics show. Apologetics is that branch of Christian theology that deals with the defense and the establishment of the Christian faith. And that is what I do. I've been doing it for 41 years, full-time for about 15 years. And carm.org, carm.org is my website. It's had 146 million visitors so far. Actually, I can take a look and see how many more it's had than that because I keep a record. It's 147 million visitors. They just passed that. And we have 80 million returning visitors have come here. And page views, roughly 226 million page views. So we get a lot of people coming to the site. And it's been up for a while. And you can check it out, carm.org, carm.org. All right. Oh, you always got more stuff to talk about. Oh, yeah, it's supposed to be in a debate tomorrow night, but that's been postponed two or three weeks. You can go to the Carm calendar. We're going to be changing it a little bit, but and seeing how it looks. But if you go to carm.org/calendar, you'll be taken to a nice page, and you can check stuff out there. Let's see, carm.org/calendar. And we have a list of the things that I'll be doing. And let's see, come on, get up there. There it is. So I got a debate on the 24th, one on the 17th, another one on the 10th. And then I've got an interview and some others. Anyway, so there's stuff going on. Oh, there you go. There you go. Oh, a yawn coming up. Whoa, sorry about that. And for all the those out there who are now yawning because of that, I'm smiling. All right, let's get to James from Missouri. James, welcome. You are on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Barely. I can barely hear you. Let me turn you up. So what do you got, man?
Can you hear me now?
A little bit. Our producer will raise your volume a little bit for the callers. Hopefully we can hear you. I can barely hear you. So what do you got, man? What's up?
Well, I have this friend at work. He was raised Mormon, but he's kind of finding his way out of the Mormon church, so to speak.
Good.
And he says that he's spending, quote, a year as a Protestant to see, you know, what holds true and what doesn't.
He needs to call me. He needs to call me, or he needs to talk to Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson at Mormonism Research Ministry, and they can spend time with him. But go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, he holds the Bible up as the standard of authority to which the Book of Mormon has to comply. And a lot of Mormons, they hold the Book of Mormon up above the Bible. He doesn't. He's largely Trinitarian in his view of the Godhead.
Okay.
church. He really doesn't hold a lot of value
okay.
in the temple goings on, but he still accepts, he still views Joseph Smith as a prophet.
Okay. Well, look, so he needs to talk to somebody. He needs to talk to somebody who knows stuff. Now, I'm knowledgeable. I can, I'd be glad to talk to him if he's interested. But he also can talk to the people at MRM.org, Mormonism Research Ministry. And they're experts way, far more than I am about Mormonism. And I'm not saying I can't talk to him. I'd be willing to. I can certainly help him if he's open to that. But that's what needs to happen. He needs to talk to somebody who knows stuff about Mormonism.
Yeah. Well, my question really has to do with me, because of the good presuppositionalist that I am. My question is, how much neutrality am I allowed to give him when I'm talking to him?
Neutrality?
Given that we agree
None.
Okay.
None. If you're a Christian, you speak of Christ, and you always speak of the truth of who Christ is. There is no neutrality with a Christian. Neutrality is wrong, morally wrong. We always must presuppose the truth of God's existence, the Trinitarian view, the deity, death, Christ, and burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that there's only one God in all existence, all place, all time, that the forgiveness of our sins is by faith alone in Christ alone, etc. These are the things. We always operate from those perspectives. And everything done is a moral issue. Because everything done under the sun is for the glory of God. Do all that you do for His glory. And so there is no neutrality with a Christian. If you try and obtain neutrality, you're actually working against biblical revelation. It doesn't mean you shove Christianity down his throat at every second, but it must mean that you presuppose the truth of God's existence and his word, and you work from that perspective in all areas. So you do it prayerfully, you do it carefully, and you do it kindly. But you would tell him that Mormonism's not true, and that the truth is, and you work from that perspective. No neutrality, okay? It's impossible, and it's unbiblical. Okay?
Right.
All right. So I'd be willing to talk to this guy. And Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, both from Mormonism Research Ministry, would be happy to talk to him as well. So there's some good people, okay, that can help him out and just talk and answer questions. All right?
Yep.
Now, if you feel knowledgeable enough and you want to talk to him, that's fine. But
yeah,
it sounds.
I know my Bible, and we have really good conversations. And I've sat at the table with him, and I've straight up told him, "Look, Joseph Smith was a liar, and I'm going to tell you why."
Can you demonstrate? Can you show what scriptures would you use to demonstrate that Joseph Smith was not true?
I would use first and foremost the verse in John that says, "No man has seen God at any time," and I go straight to Joseph Smith. First revelation.
That's John 1:18, but then you got to be careful. That's John 1:18 you're talking about, but they might go to, for example, Genesis 17:1 or 18:1 or Exodus 6:2-3 or Numbers 12:6-8 or Exodus 24:9-11 where God is actually seen. Then you'd be stuck. So how would you answer that question if they were to do that, where God actually appears to people in the Old Testament, but in John 1:18 it says no man's ever seen God? So how would you respond to that if you brought that up?
Well, we've discussed at length the passage in Deuteronomy when Moses goes up and into the mountain and he sees God.
Yeah, that's Exodus 33.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So here's the answer. Right, let me just help you out.
The wording
Let me help you out here. The reason I'm asking you the question is I want to test your knowledge to see if you're at that level where if he has serious questions, you'll be able to answer them. The answer to what I just said was that they had never seen the Father. And that's John 6:46 and 1 Timothy 6:16, which says that no man has seen God. It talked about the Father who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor can see. That's talking about the Father. So that's a better verse than John 1:18. John 1:18 raises other issues if you aren't familiar with the response yet. So this is why I'm saying that in a situation like this, if you're willing to do some serious study and answer questions and work with them, then by all means go for it. But sometimes what might be better is to have someone who's a little bit more knowledgeable in certain areas who can talk with him or coach you and be able to answer those questions so that you can get him on that right track. Okay?
All right.
That's what I'm saying.
Appreciate that.
And I'm not trying to discourage you, okay? It's just that when someone who comes out of this has lots of questions, the average Christian isn't able to answer them very well. And I'm not knocking you. It's just how it is. And so that's what we wackos who study this all the time like to do. Okay?
All right. All right. Well, thank you, Matt.
All right, buddy. Well, you know, let me know what happens, or contact MRM, Mormonism Research Ministry, MRM.org. They're great guys there, and they know so much about Mormonism. They are experts, world-class experts in it, and they're right there in Sandy, Utah also. All right?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, man. God bless. All right, that was James from Missouri. Sorry about the bad connection there, folks. That kind of thing happens. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Scott from Des Moines, Iowa. Scott, welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning, Matt, or good afternoon, I should say. I'm very glad to talk to you. Thank you for what you do.
Oh, praise
God.
So I've
got a couple of questions here. This is going to be around women teaching in the church, the role of women in the church, which I am opposed to be clear about that. I have been all
you
my
mean as
Christian
pastors
life.
And elders, pastors, elders, and deacons.
Yes, the pastors and elders. So question one, and this is all arising out of a current debate in my church I've been a member of for almost 25 years,
mm-hmm.
That has never allowed this, ever.
Never
in,
allowed
in
what?
Any capacity. Women as pastors, called on staff as pastors, or
good.
To teach men.
Good.
Never done that. It's never been part of our platform. It's never really been a question. We've always good. Accepted the theology in that way. I have a new pastor. Been there a couple of years. Is now raising questions and is suggesting some stuff. I'm familiar with a lot of the arguments, but one of these points I find interesting I've not heard. So I'm going to ask you the first question.
All right.
Can you in Scripture distinguish between actually having a female on staff in a teaching capacity? I think we all agree that, Paul's dissertation in Timothy is I think very clear in the context.
Okay, let me jump
order.
In. Yeah, we got that.
Okay,
that's not a problem. A woman
got
could
that,
be on
staff.
But hold on. A woman could be on staff at a church as a teacher if she's teaching women.
Yes, and we have.
Okay.
And I'm not asking that. What about using a woman to speak on Sunday morning who's not on staff? Now, I have always.
What do you mean? Wait. What do you mean speak?
So, fulfilling the role of delivering the Sunday morning message in a teaching
wrong.
Form.
She's not to be in that position.
Right. Not to do that.
Because it's a position of a spiritual authority in the congregation at that time. She's not to be in that place. Okay, now that we got that settled, we got a break coming up. Hold on. Okay, we'll get some more of this.
There's more.
All right. Hey, folks, three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get back to Scott. Hey, Scott, welcome.
Hey, Matt.
Okay.
You can hear me okay? I'm not sure about
yes.
the connection here.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
So, first question, can you draw a distinction between a position of authority and being a teacher? In Paul's discourse, is there a distinction between that, and can you, in these special situations, have a guest speaker that's a female? that speaks to the congregation. They're not on staff.
Okay.
They're not.
Women are not to teach in a church context. Women are not to be in spiritual authority over men in the church, period. That's it. 1 Timothy 2:12-13 yep. tells us that. Now, can a guest woman come in and preach and teach? No, she cannot preach because that is the authoritative position. Can she teach in a church context? It's not. No, she can't because it's an authoritative context. However, what if you have a woman who's a missionary? If I were a pastor and we had some missionaries and in another country and they came here for rest, and I said, why don't you come into the church and speak? What I would do is say I'd have her come up into the physical pulpit while I'm standing right there, and I'd introduce her and say, could you please give us 1 or 2 minutes of what you've done? This is not preaching and teaching. She's not in a teaching authority position. And say that she'll be in the room of such and such afterwards if you want to ask questions about what she does to support her and things like that. No problem. Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
All right, that's how it's testimony
experience. Really.
Yes, testimony is fine. And if she wants to have an authoritative teaching position over women, no problem. And young children, that's fine too. Okay?
Yeah. Right.
I'd support her.
So here's where things kind of took a left turn. And I don't know what's out there in the world right now, but my pastor cited the references to the daughters of Phillips in Acts 21. Acts 21, and was stating, we feel now, myself and the elders feel, that there is a role for women teachers in the church based on the fact that they were always there. They cited that as one reference. They cite the citations, for example, at Pentecost when they said your sons and daughters will be filled and will prophesy, that there's some role there.
Of course.
They accept we're not giving position of authority, we're not putting women on staff, but there's some role there where women can be used in this context.
We think that's
okay for them to speak on Sunday morning.
Sure.
Wait.
You got to be careful how you word things. It's okay for them to speak on Sunday morning. You're not being clear what you mean by speak on Sunday morning. In the pulpit? Do you mean get up in front of the congregation and say something? What do you mean? And you be very careful, very, very specific. Now, in Act 21.
This is in the preaching capacity. The pastor's
not
there.
She cannot preach, period. That's it. Done.
Hold on.
We need to have a phone call conversation. I need to be involved with them. Okay, now, they may not want to have some guy named Slick from the radio and stuff like that, but I know the topic very well, and I can say, look, this is how it's supposed to be. I give you the biblical reasons. I can answer the difficult levels of questions that are there. Now, because, I volunteer, you can tell them that there's a Christian apologist, well-known, blah, 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 radio, who is very up on this. There's websites had 147 million visitors, check it out. But the thing is, when they say prophetess, you got to understand something. We're talking about 1 Corinthians 14. There are tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and prophecy. This is what a prophetess would be under that area. So what I do is I use the example, if I was in a church preaching, and I'm open to the charismatic gifts, but everything must be done in order. Let's say on a Sunday morning, I'm in the middle of a sermon, and a woman or a man, it doesn't really matter, stands up during the middle of the sermon and were to say, I have a word from the Lord. What I would do is say, this is a test. I would say, okay, please hold that until after the sermon, and the elders and I will come talk to you. And the reason I would say that is because it says that the Spirit is subject to that person, that he should be able to control that. If he can't control it, then it's out of order. If the person says, okay, thank you, and he sits down, or she, no problem. Now, if I go to that person afterwards, and the person tells me something, and the elders and I pray through the week, and we think it's really good, man or woman, next week, I would then say, if I thought the congregation needed to hear it, I'd say, last week, blah, 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 happened, and this week, I want this person to come up here and say what he thinks the Lord was saying. I wouldn't have any problem with that. And that even if it was a man or a woman coming up into that pulpit and speaking that, that's not a position of authority. It is a movement of the gift that is under the supervision of the eldership of the church. And that's my position. And, you know, I'm a Calvinist, and I hold to this position, which is Calvinists rarely hold to this kind of position. But I do. Because I don't see the charismatic gifts having ceased. So this is the area, the prophetesses. They are not pastors, they're not elders, they're not deacons. There's a differentiation. Okay?
Yeah, and so that it's always about the definitions, and that's exactly where I went with it. I said, I think you're taking a really broad... We don't really know, for one, and it's not... Obviously, there's not a lot of scripture about Philip's daughters.
Right.
Very few references. Philip's daughters. I mean, you're making a really broad assumption to say, you know, it's more likely to make the assumption that Philip, I believe, was assigned to minister to widows. It seems a lot logical assumption. I think that his daughters were probably involved in the ministry with females, but we don't know that. We just don't know that.
We don't know.
But,
now, here, let me tell you something. This is a very big concern, because when there's a lack of specificity, then error increases. You can't separate from error. You can't separate error, truth from error, if the lines are blurred because of lack of specificity, lack of definitions. So I am dead serious about this, that you can volunteer me in this group, and if they want, we can have a group meeting I can set up something. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I can set up a thing where they can all get in. We can have a discussion. I can say, here's what the scriptures say. You got to be careful about this. This is what they say here. This is the limitations. You know, they don't know who I am, but for whatever.
Yeah, they know who you are. They know who you are.
Okay.
Yeah, they know who you are. Yeah, they know your ministry and your show and whatnot.
All right. Well, tell them about. I'd be happy to talk to them. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. And I'll. You know, I don't know where that's going to go, Matt. Obviously, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Let me ask one more question.
Sure.
And it's a little bit of a segue.
Okay.
A lot of what is happening in my church related. Using other speakers in the pulpit, frankly, has to do a lot with the head pastor's just gone a lot. That's a separate problem. But the second question
Hold on. Slow down. Why is he gone
a
lot?
I'm waiting.
Why is he gone a lot?
Has a lot of vacation. I can't say it any other plainer way. He has a lot of vacation. He's gone a
Why
lot.
Why does he have a lot of vacation? Is it because he hasn't had a vacation in 10 years? He's catching up? That's fine.
That's not true.
Okay, hold on. We got a break here. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after this break. And we'll talk to Rick from High Point. Hopefully, we've got three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We have three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get back to Scott. We got to finish this up, Scott. We got a lot of stuff, people waiting. So what do you got?
Last question. What is the prescription in Scripture about the qualifications of a person that is going to preach who's not already on staff, they've not been ordained, they've not been just, you know, guest speakers per se, let's assume they're male.
Well,
what is the prescription, the qualification in Scripture, in your view?
They would follow the basic prescriptions of the elders. Now, the elders are to receive double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching, and that's 1 Timothy 5:17. And then those people who do preach normally are elders. Elders should be qualified to be able to preach and step into the pulpit when the pastor is incapacitated or on vacation or whatever it is. And they should be able to teach sound doctrine and refute error, have their household in order, not be pugnacious. That means, you know, willing to fight and angry all the time, not addicted to wine, you know, not alcoholic, things like that. And these are the basic things. And so... you know, if there's circumstances, because what if you're in a church with 100 people and you have two elders, and let's just say, whatever reasons happen, both of them have to move away for work and you're without an elder. And then the pastor is, let's just say, sick for 3 weeks. Well, then you get a trusted congregation member to come in, or a guest preacher to come in, and that's fine. But yep. Normatively speaking, it should be from the pastor, and the elders should be the ones who do that.
Yeah, and I agree. Okay, that's basically it. All right, Matt, thank you for your time. I'm sorry that took a little bit longer, but
it's all right. It's okay. Well, it's important stuff. And just remember that yep, I'm willing to have a nice little Zoom meeting if they want. We can all discuss these issues, get specifics clarified if they're interested. Yep. Okay?
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, man. God bless. All right. Four open lines. Give me a call, folks. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Rick from High Point, North Carolina. Rick, you're on the air.
How you doing, sir?
Doing all right, by God's great grace.
All right. Mm-hmm. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to talk to you. Now, first off, before I get to, I am going to comment on the conversation that was just had about women in the church with this gentleman. First off, I'm from North Carolina. That's Green. It's called the Triad: Greensboro, Winston-Salem, and High Point. Now, you just by those comments, and which you're right, I'm not disputing that. You nullified 50% of the white churches and 95% of the black churches, because they all gonna have either. I've been to them, and I know people. They're gonna have a woman in the pulpit. They're gonna have one that would do speak. Or something to that capacity. They have leaders in the church, and I don't agree. And it's going to sound rude. But
Let me interject something. Okay, since people are listening in that area right now, okay, I would be very willing.
They will
to,
be.
Okay, I'd be very willing to fly out and meet in one or more churches and have discussions and teach on this and present the rationale and the biblical argument. I would be glad to meet with people to discuss the issue of what proper eldership is supposed to be. I'd be glad to meet with any of the women who say they're pastors, and we can go through the scriptures together. We can have debates, polite, and we can discuss this. And I'd be glad to help people come into a biblical state of biblical authority. Along with, I can teach also the biblical reasons for this, what's going on. I'd be glad to fly out there and spend a few days teaching about this, even preach if someone wants. So the offer is extended. I'm willing if everybody wants to. This is an important issue. This is not something that is just something we slip under the rug for convenience sake. This is the nature of the church. It is the authority established by God himself in the church. It is necessary that the men get off their rears and start behaving like godly men, which I could teach. I could do a thing on the theology of marriage, which needs to be taught, and the biblical role of pastors and elders, and what the authority issue is in federal headship based out of the Trinity. I can go through and lay all this down. I'd be glad to do that for any church that's interested, because this is important.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
So all they can do is contact me.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the interjection. I'm hoping one day... Oh, I can't wait to meet you. I cannot wait. I might not even let you go back home. I cannot wait to meet you.
Well, that's what most people say until they meet me. Then they can't wait for me to go home.
First of all, and you're right. Now, 50% of the white church, you're going to have a good conversation with that. They're willing to listen. But now, I'm black. I told you that. But I'm going to tell you right now. You step up in a black church, especially when you said if the lady got up and started speaking and said she's going to preach, and you tell a black woman in the church to sit down, you're going to get cussed out. I'm going to tell you that right now.
And then I would quote more scripture. I would quote more scripture.
Because they don't know.
Colossians 3:12 has let abusive speech be removed from your mouth. Right. And I would say to all people,
Matt,
I know
Matt,
you're kidding, but look, this is a serious thing.
No, I'm not kidding. You don't get it. I understand what you're saying. They won't look at it from a biblical sense. It would be the black culture. Let me say this to you.
Wait. Tell me about this black culture thing. Tell me about this black culture. Women, is it because of slave days when the families are broken?
No. We need to leave that alone a minute. No, this won't.
All right, I'm just wondering.
There's Indian culture. There's Portuguese. Indian people from different cultures have their cultural differences. By the way, they're raised, born, their ancestors.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. It's not about color. Okay, it's right. Just a difference in culture. White folks, black folks, Indian, Aztecs, all that. Now let me get to my point. I need to say something I want to say, and number one, you and I agree to disagree. But I'm asking in a very humble manner. I want you to not interrupt me, and I'm gonna make it quick, and then I will not. I will not interrupt you.
Well, let's just see.
Okay.
Here we go. Go ahead.
Here we go. Okay. This is where we differ a lot. I just heard you mention about people moving to Idaho, which is fantastic. But first thing out of your mouth was, well, it was okay because a lot of these liberals start calling. And I get that. But I heard you talk a lot about, to me, politicization with the leftist liberals versus the conservatives who are right wingers. And it seems like the liberals in your mouth are always either they can't be Christians or demonic or something wrong. Here's the problem I have with that, Matt, and I gotta keep it real. I know for a fact I'm a Christian. I know for a fact I'm saved and born again. But I'm not liberal, I guess, but I'm a Democrat. And you make it sound like that if you're a Democrat or liberal, you can't be a Christian and you can't go to heaven or you can't, you know, you make it sound like being something other than a liberal or Republican is either a curse or sin. And I really don't like that. Now you go.
Let me ask you. The Democrat Party was the party that supported the KKK. It supports abortion and it supports homosexuality. So what do you do about that?
I'm not. That's them. I'm not looking at it from a party standpoint.
So do you?
I'm looking at it from me.
But then, if you vote Democrat, and I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, I'm a constitutionalist. But if you vote along with Democratic parties, you're voting for people who are pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality, which is absolutely against Scripture. So, did we lose him? Oh, I think we did. he just lost the connection. He'll call back. But that's the question I have. And we have wide open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Look, there's some texts. People don't know that the Democratic Party is the party that supported the KKK. And the Democratic Party in history supported segregation. The Democratic Party supports abortion and homosexuality. My question is, how could any Christian support that? How could you? And to me, it's wrong. And Republicans, I'm not a Republican, and the reason I'm not a Republican is because there are too many rhinos. They don't have the guts. They don't have the gumption, most of them, to be able to stand up for what is supposed to be Republican principles. They don't. They're failures. We have socialism running rampant in our government and in our society. And I'm talking to more and more people who think socialism is great. And it's just, what socialism is communism light. That's what it is. So these are the issues, and I think they're important. And how can, and here's Rick back, he's back. So I was asking everybody, Rick, how can anybody be a Democrat and a Christian when the Democrat Party is the party that supported the KKK, segregation between the races, black and white, and still supports abortion and homosexuality? That's a question I have. How can you do that? Are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I had gotten cut off. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I'm sorry.
No big deal.
Okay, I agree.
That's all right. We got a break, buddy. Hold on, okay?
Okay.
We got a break. Hey, folks, three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back after these messages.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back with Rick from High Point. Rick,
hello.
Welcome. You're on the air. Okay.
Yeah, we're still here. Okay, I'm sorry I got cut off. Let me correct something I said that was wrong. Okay. I grew up. As a Methodist, I grew up as a Baptist. I ended up attending the Methodist, but since I've gotten grown and become a meek, from milk to meek Christian, you know what I'm talking about. I don't do that political party. I'm actually independent. They have some years that I vote, some I don't. But for me, I don't believe in church membership. Now, a lot of people say that's wrong. Membership doesn't mean that much to me. As long as I keep going to hear the word of God, because I like fellowship. And as it turns out right now, I go to two different churches. But now I'm going to tell you what I have done, and this could have been really rude, Matt, really rude. I have been in a church and listened to a great, great service, you know, by a male pastor, and a guest speaker or someone that's in that church gets up to speak and teaches a woman, and I literally have gotten up and walked out. That was rude, wasn't it?
Gotten and walked out during what?
When a woman got up to the pulpit, that was rude, wasn't it?
I think it's proper.
Okay, well, I've been criticized for that. I follow what you're saying.
I have no problem doing that. But, I mean, during a congregation, a woman gets up to start preaching, and I happen to be there, I would wait a minute or two, and I'd stand up and slowly walk out, and hopefully others would follow, or others would have already done that.
No, they won't.
I would.
Well,
because it's biblical.
Well, I've done it.
What would you do? What would you do? What should Christians do? Let's say a person, doesn't matter, man, woman, whoever, gets into the pulpit, blah, blah, blah,
right,
and says the Trinity's not true, Jesus is not God. Do you just sit there and continue listening what the person has to say, or do you sit up and say,
not me,
you've got to stop that?
Not me.
The
not me.
Stop.
I'd get up and walk out.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. The male elders who allow women pastors and elders are failing miserably in their callings as men in the church. And if I ever go out there and someone wants me to speak, and someone comes up to me, a guy comes up to me and says, Matt, you said on August 2nd, 2021, you said that men who are elders, who allow women to be pastors and elders, are failing to be Christian men in the church context. And they say, that offended me. I'd say, it's still true. I'll tell them to their faces, it's still true. It's true. And if that offends you, then let the word of God offend you. I'm not trying to offend you, but that's what the word of truth is. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:13, be strong, act like men. And it tells us what men are supposed to do. And women are not supposed to be in that pulpit and are not supposed to be elders. And the further that they are is more evidence of the failure of men in the Christian church. Men need to stand up. I would love to come out there and teach a seminar, a small series, 2, 3, 4 nights, whatever it is, on male leadership qualifications and roles in the Christian church and the Christian home. I'd love to do that.
Okay.
It needs to be done.
Okay. It needs to be done.
It needs to be done.
Let me get back to...
Men are under heavy attack from every direction, and they're not sure what to do in a lot of areas. It's just, you know, they just don't know. And I'm not knocking them, but it's just true,
right,
you know?
Okay.
And I have the privilege of being able to sit here at my desk for hours and hours a day and do this full time. I'd be glad to come out there and teach and do that, do a seminar on it. Anyway, go ahead.
Now let me get back to the political thing just for a second. Okay, I get it. Okay, so you are constitutionalist. I'm independent. Now here's still the problem I have. Not problem, but disagreement. So all of what you just said is true. But now, so what you're telling me is, since you live out of Idaho, none of what you said is wrong in the church and with politicians, liberals, of course. But now on record. We have Republican congressmen and senators right here in North Carolina that have been caught up in bribery scandals, sex scandals, and some of them who run. They're Republicans who say, I have had to back up on the abortion issue because I do believe in a woman's right. These are conservative Republicans. Now, how do you address that?
They are rhinos. They are shameful. They should be voted out of office. The Christians need to stand up.
So it's not just liberals then?
No, it's anybody. When I say the leftists, the liberals, I say the far left. I don't always say the far left. It's those people who are pro-homosexual, pro-LGBTQ, pro-socialist, pro-communist, who don't care about truth and want to destroy our country. Like Pelosi. That's where she is. Like AOC. That's where she is.
Okay.
These people are disgraces to the American government. They're disgraces.
Okay.
I would love, I mean, I know nothing, and I would go debate them in public. I would love to debate Pelosi and AOC one-on-one. Have them pick the topic. I'll prep for a couple of weeks. Let's go debate. Yeah, I'm so angry about this. And I, in my opinion, the Declaration of Independence needs to be read by all Christians. When the government becomes oppressive, it's time for the people to rise up. Now, the rising up doesn't mean violence necessarily. It should mean by voting, petitioning, calling, emails, and demanding enough of this stuff. Like the women, of all people, women are the ones who are finally standing up more than the men and saying enough of this CRT, critical race theory, in schools.
I agree.
I mean, men should be embarrassed that the women are the ones who are doing it first. Women are great. And I love it when they stand up. Well, and praise God for women, I'll tell you. But why is it the women are standing up when the men need to be doing this?
Well, I think you just answered part of your own question. There are a lot of people who call Republican, Democrat, black or white, Asian, don't matter, who call themselves Christians in name only. To me, Christianity is not something you do. It's a lifestyle.
Exactly.
Now, it's funny you just mentioned the critical race theory, because you got me excited the last time we talked. Let me tell you what I'm in the process of doing, and I'm going to
We got callers waiting.
Okay, I'll call you back this week.
Yeah, call back tomorrow.
I'll do what you tell me to do. I'm not a computer person, so I have to do it on the phone.
That's okay. Call back tomorrow, because we got
so
people
much,
waiting.
Matt.
And you and I are just blabbing.
Thank you so much.
But I like
him. Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right, Rick. God bless, man. I like him. I do. He's a good guy. All right, let's get to Amy from South Carolina. Amy, welcome. You're on the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question deals with applied kinesiology and muscle testing for, like, allergies. I'm curious if that's something that the Christian should be involved in.
Well, kinesiology deals with body movements in order to heal, to do things like that. If it's just body movements, that's fine. If they get into this area of energy transference and balancing, then it's occultic. So kinesiology is kind of like just regular physical therapy. You go through and you do certain motions and stuff like that. But I don't know too much about kinesiology other than that kind of stuff. It's just biomechanics and movements. I don't see any problem with it from that, as long as you're not getting into Eastern mysticism and, you know, stupidity like that.
Now, let me, because I agree on your article on not practicing yoga as what is completely behind that, and how, you know, it's, in my personal opinion, it's like, you know, a Hindu cannot have their religion without yoga. So I don't ever encourage anyone to do that myself. My thing with certain stuff is it's like not everything. I mean, the Lord is the one who created it, everything. Mm-hmm. And the enemy is the one that has distorted things. Right. And so I know that there is things from China, Japan, all mm-hmm. around, all the different countries and not just the United States that mm-hmm. is good for your health.
Yep.
And so, you know, I just don't know where that line is. That's not good, but not everything has to have, like, the evil behind it.
I agree. It's like marijuana. I've never done it in my entire life, but there are certain aspects of it that have health benefits. Fine, use it for that purpose. There are certain aspects of other drugs and herbs that have certain effects that are good, that can help us. The Bible says herbs and stuff are given for our health as medicine. There's no problem with that, as long as it's done for that reason. No problem. And, you know, for yoga, and I should take yoga when I was a kid and didn't know anything at that point, but the idea of stretching is good. It's good for mm-hmm. your body. So there's no problem, as long as you're not doing chakra balancing and energy displacement and things like that, and getting, you know, the kundalini and all this kind of idiocy. We can't do that as Christians, and it's bad. But can we stretch?
Yeah.
Of course you can stretch. Can you use yoga positions? Yeah, because stretching's stretching.
Yeah, no, I agree. As I'm a massage therapist, and good. I've just mm-hmm. been a Christian for 6.5 years, and I massage therapy, you get a lot of stuff of the New Age movement, and so I was actually into a lot of things, and the Lord opened to my eyes. Praise the Lord for that. But I've just there are certain things that I know that is like very beneficial.
Sure.
But because of, like, I don't know if you're familiar with Qigong, as it is an energy practice exercise.
Yeah. You got to be careful of. You got to be very, very careful of stuff like that. It's New Age. It's Eastern. That energy is something that can be transferred by the intention of your mind that opens yourself up to the energy frequencies and, let's say frequencies, that you can then get in tune with and move them. That's dangerous. It's occultic.
Yes. Yes, okay. I agree with that. I just am unsure of doing things that are actually nothing like that, but I'll say, like, with that allergy elimination, it's, you know, you are holding a vial that is representing, you know, a certain allergen, and depending on, you know, how your muscle testing reacts to that mm-hmm. is whether or not, like, you're allergic to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go through a process of, you know, different techniques to, like, reset your body, I guess you could say, to make yourself not allergic to that allergen. Now, is that
no problem? Yeah, it's no problem. I'm familiar with it. My wife has a lot of issues. Since you're a physical therapist, look up Luis Dietz syndrome. It's Marfan on steroids. And Luis Dietz. But, you know, I'm quite familiar with all this stuff. And, you know, as long as it's not, you know, chakra balancing, New Age stuff, no problem. Yeah, she goes through therapy, and I help her, massage her. I'm no good at it, but, you know, and things like that with her body. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
As long as you're not doing occultic stuff. And if you have any questions, you should call me back and we can talk about what that is so you can learn. You know, energy balancing, frequency tuning. All right. Energies that are outside the body that you contact or get a hold of. Or energies inside the body as if it's a specific energy that you can manipulate. As if it's an energy. That right there, we can talk about why is energy manipulable. What is the definition of that energy? Where does it come from? And there's all other kind of things we need to talk about. But we're out of time. Call back.
Okay? Thank you.
All right. Hey, Lisa from Des Moines, Communication Within the Trinity. I would love to talk about that tomorrow if you please call back. Sorry we didn't get to you. Hey, everybody. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.